Joining us right now at PMP Network is Susan Jacks. You all remember her from the Poppy family. Yeah, Which Way You Going, Billy, and That's Where I Went Wrong. Two of my favorite songs growing up, actually. And she's with us right now. And we would like to speak to her. So here she is, the lovely Susan Jacks. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
All right.
You know, it's interesting. I've been reading about you, and I know you're Canadian.
Yes.
And the group, and also as well as yourself as a soloist, were huge in Canada. You guys had tons and tons of hits. It was America that you had a little bit less success in.
Well, you know, I'm not sure exactly why, but Terry did not want to tour, and so he wouldn't do touring, and he wouldn't do TV shows, and it kind of put us in an awkward position because, you know, people need to see you and connect with you somehow, and so I don't know why he didn't want to, but he wouldn't do it. So,
well, you began.
But that could have had something to do with it.
You began as a professional performer on a Canadian television show called Music Hop, and
right.
You were on a lot of other shows as well. In fact, you recorded with a group called the Eternal Triangle all before you met Terry, right?
Right.
So. How did you end up meeting him? I guess, from what I understand, you hired him to be a guitarist or something, or?
Well, I did. I had met him, actually. He was a guest on the Music Hop show, one of the Music Hop shows, and that's actually where I met him. But I never thought anything about it. But his group broke up shortly thereafter, and I was asked to sing at an Elks Club meeting or something in outside of Vancouver. And I had heard that his group broke up, and I was just phoning around to see if I could find a guitar player who wasn't busy for that night. And he said, sure, I'll play. So he played guitar for me.
So you started after that kind of performing as a duo?
Well, partly. I kept performing as a soloist for a while. Plus doing the, if either one of us came up with just a guitar player and a singer gig, you know, then we'd do that. But I was performing with other bands and doing other, you know, still doing TV shows and still doing other things, other gigs.
Yeah, so, now how long was it before you two decided to bring a couple other folks on and form the Poppy family?
Well, it's so long ago. I don't remember exactly how long it was, but we probably, we brought Craig on board first. We thought that it would be fuller, you know, rather than just one guitar player. It was a little too folky, and although folk was in, we didn't want to be labeled as just folky, you
mm-hmm.
know. And we had some other things, other songs that we wanted to do that were, actually, initially we just did mostly cover tunes, you know, songs that were on the radio. We just needed more fullness for some of the songs because they weren't all they didn't all fit with just a guitar and a vocalist. So we brought Craig McCaw on board. We both knew Craig from earlier days,
mm-hmm.
and brought him along. And he was friends with Satwant Singh, and he was very interested. He took up sitar, and Satwant, of course, played tablas. And Craig kind of introduced him to us and to see what we thought of having Satwant join us. It was a little unique, and I loved it. And they're such nice guys too, and it was great. And that was kind of the start of it.
So now, you started performing with Terry in the mid-60s, and you guys ended up getting married in 67.
Right.
So, at that point, you started recording together in around 1969, 1970 is when you started breaking with some of these songs, right?
Right, right.
Because, I guess, I'm not sure what year, which way you go on Billy Kim. Was it on 1970, 71?
It was 70 was its big year.
Yeah.
But we had recorded it probably a year before that, and we went down to L.A. and tried to pitch it, and it's not too bad. And then the Beach Boys, actually, we ran into the Beach Boys and became friends with them, and they were going to put us out on the Brother label, but that didn't happen, but we stayed friends with them, and...
Song came out, I remember, because I remember hearing it for the first time and really loving that song. I don't know what it was about it, but it was something about it that just it caught on in America, and
you know,
it sold
really
over 3 million copies worldwide.
And I had a feeling about that song, and, well, actually, it was presented to me. It was originally written, Which Way You Goin', Buddy, and it was written from a guy's perspective where he... actually, a good friend of mine that was on Music Hop, a singer, sang the demo. And so Terry played the demo, and I thought, this is an incredible melody, but the song is really bad. It just didn't sound right coming from a guy. You know, it's Which Way Going, Buddy, and mm-hmm. Can I Go To, and my wife or my girlfriend or whatever just left me, and I just need to hang out and cry in my beer or something, and I just hated it. So I asked if it could be written for a girl to sing, and it made much more sense. But I think that the melody was just absolutely, I think that was Terry's forte, was melodies.
Well, it's kind of infectious once you hear it,
Yeah. Well, it was for me, too. I couldn't wait to get into the studio and record it. It was really neat.
So the song hit number one in Canada, number two in the United States. It actually was number one on Cashbox. So
right.
it was all over the place, worldwide hit. What happens to Susan and Terry Jacks then, when all of a sudden you guys come from, in the world, you guys were successful in Canada, but all of a sudden you're getting worldwide acclaim and selling millions of records. How did life change?
It didn't, for me, it didn't change. I mean, I've always been into the music because I love the music. It was, the only thing is, like I say, then all of a sudden we stopped doing touring, and we stopped doing very many, we just did a few TV shows, and we were asked to do the last Ed Sullivan show.
Wow.
And Terry turned it down, and I to this day don't know exactly why, but I think that really hurt us. I really do.
Mm.
Because, like I say, I think people need to connect with who they're listening to, and it just makes it more real to them, I think. I know I'm that way with music. If I go and see somebody in person, it's just much more exciting to me.
Well, absolutely, and television back then, I mean, this was before YouTube and MTV and everything.
Oh, my gosh.
It was huge to be on the Ed Sullivan Show
and
sing your songs.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, Terry sounds like he was a little bit on the strange side. Genius, a genius-like kind of guy, but...
Pardon me?
He was a genius kind of guy in many ways.
Well, not really.
No? No.
But he was weird.
Musically, I thought he was kind of a very, really bright guy.
He was, he had, I think that his forte was his music. He had a way with melodies that was really, really good. And very catchy, and he had a foot in that. But I think that Terry really needs a yin to his yang. He hasn't really done anything. stints. Well, we recorded Seasons in the Sun before I left, and The Marriage, and, you know, in that album. And he hasn't really ever done anything much since. And I think he needs somebody in there to just sort of, you know, not that it was me, I just think he needs a yang for his yang.
Mm.
But and it brings out that creative side. Somebody in there with him, you know, brings out a creative side. And
now, once you get a big hit like Which Way You Going, Billy, the record companies go berserko, and they want to get more out, boom, 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 boom. Did you find that they were asking for product real quickly?
No, they really didn't push us too much. You know, we only recorded two albums.
Hmm.
You know, it was frustrating because we were just on the brink of this amazing, you know, exposure to the whole world, and I would have thought that we would be recording our tails off and touring and just really capitalizing on it, but it didn't really, you know, we didn't, like I say, we only recorded two albums.
It's hard to believe. I mean, when you think about it, and I know that I actually bought a collection of the Poppy Family's kind of greatest hits on eBay.
The CD, A Good Thing Lost?
A Good Thing Lost, yeah. I ended up buying that thing. And
don't pay any attention to the liner notes. I had nothing to do with it.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I mean, it's got some great memories in it and great music. And
right.
I sat and listened to it, and I said, why didn't these guys have more hits? But you only had two albums.
I know. It was unusual. I don't know.
Was it because you guys split up? Is that? I know you did a solo release, and he did a solo release, and. You know.
Well, that was that. Yeah. No, it wasn't because we split up. Because we were married 5.5 years, and in that time only recorded two albums, and then our solo albums, but they were recorded at the end of our marriage. When we started them, Terry just decided that we were going to start releasing things on our own, and rather than the Poppy Family. So,
yeah.
I went along with it.
I was a big fan of That's Where I Went Wrong, too. I thought that was a beautiful song, too.
Yeah, I did, too. I there were some songs that I just absolutely thought were beautiful songs, you know, and I think, because I'm a firm believer that a melody is, words and lyrics are important too, but if you have a killer melody, it's just gonna, you know, it'll carry the song. And I thought that, I felt that way about Which Way Going, Billy, and I felt that way about That's Where I Went Wrong. I think one of my favorite songs that he wrote, because I like those two, was Another Year, Another Day.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really neat.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a nice song, too. One that didn't get much play in this country, though.
No, there just wasn't enough exposure, I don't think.
Yeah. Now.
Well, look at nowadays, boy. You have to go out.
You do. Well, you know what, I was thinking about this when I was listening to the songs again, and we just played a little clip before the interview of Which Way You're Going, Billy, and That's Where I Went Wrong. Your voice was, you have a fantastic voice.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, really.
I love singing.
There aren't that many people that could pull that off the way that was. So I think that was another key to the success of the band.
Well, yeah. I loved it. I mean, I've always loved singing. Somebody, a girlfriend of mine told me that we used to live together in a small town in British Columbia when I was just, before I really got started, I would sing in church and in the school choir. And I eventually had my own little radio show, local radio show, a half hour. And not perpetual, just the one time, but they just did a thing on me. And she said they used to hear me in the yard, and there was a little park about a block and a half from my place, and I would go and I would swing. I just loved the sound of this kind of phasing that would happen as you're swinging back and forth. I would be singing at the top of my lungs, and all the neighbors would be like, oh, there's Susan again.
Mm.
So it was really quite funny. I had no idea. I guess you sort of think that you're invisible when you're, you know, 13, 14.
Mm. It's interesting. I'm also, you know, you just mentioned right before the marriage ended that you came out with an album. Yours was called I Thought of You Again, and his was Seasons in the Sun.
Oh, Oh, right. Well, it didn't come out until after we recorded them before.
Right, right. Yeah, you recorded them in 73 or so, actually a little bit before that, right?
Actually, they both came out in 73.
Right.
And I left, I guess, in May of 73, and I think Terry's was released, I don't know, late.
Late 73.
I think so.
Yeah. Now,
and mine was kind of a little earlier than that.
Now, he you guys both put out albums, and the song that he records becomes huge. Seasons
right.
in the Sun became a huge, huge hit.
Oh, yeah.
It's on every single Bubblegum album that ever came out.
I know.
And it's iconic. What was your reaction to that when you had one out and he had one out and his was huge?
I bugged him to release it. He didn't want to release it. We went down to L.A. because we were friends with the Beach Boys, and we went down and we were going to go into the studio and try and just see what came out. And a couple of the guys were, well, Dennis, God rest his soul, was always hopping over to Hawaii, and we could not nail him down. And Mike Love was on a Watermelon Fast or something at the time, and he was kind of, I don't know, but it could not get the guys all together at once, so it was never finished. And I wrote the backup things. I sat with Al Jardine, and we were writing the backup parts that were going to be on this album. And or not on the album, I'm sorry, on the if it worked out with the Beach Boys. Well, it never happened. So we went back to Vancouver, and I said, he was disappointed, of course, because they just didn't get done.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why don't you record it? And I mean, there are all kinds of stories that float out there, but I can only tell you what I know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of hesitant, and I talked him into going in the studio, so we did it, and I did all the backup vocals and all this kind of thing. But it sat there, and he just didn't really want to release it. And I kept, by that time I'd left him, and I kept bugging him and bugging him. I knew it was a hit. I just kept bugging him. And anyway, he finally released it.
Well, it became an enormous hit. And you would think then, and we were just talking about it a minute ago, that after a song like that, that Terry Jacks, under his name, would have a string of hits after that. But he had a couple of minor hits in this country, and they were both, actually, if I remember correctly, songs that were adapted by Rod McEwen from Jack Brel stuff.
Right.
Because I remember when he did the version of If You Go Away, that which was an excellent song as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Seasons in the Sun was also Rod McEwen, too, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Jacques Brel, it was
right.
Interpreted by,
right.
Or translated by Rod McEwen.
Yeah. I loved If You Go Away. That was one of my favorite songs, actually.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song.
Yeah, and there's been a number of beautiful versions of it, but...
I know, and for some reason, it's never really gotten huge.
No, actually, that song by Terry reached number 8 in Great Britain and 24 in Germany, but it wasn't a big
deal.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, there's such, you know, it's Jacques Brel, I guess, over there is huge, and so, of course, it's going to be huge, you know. Well, Seasons in the Sun was big everywhere, but anything after that would be.
So do you no longer speak to Terry at all anytime?
Terry and I have kind of gone our separate ways. Well, obviously.
Yeah, no, that was a while ago.
It was, and you know, I had tried to stay friends, he's just a different person than I am, and I don't know how to put it.
Mm.
So,
have you ever thought about getting together with him in terms of songs and more music, or?
No.
No.
No. I was a staff songwriter in Nashville for quite a few years, you know, so I feel really, I'm actually going to be recording a CD with my own songs. And I just don't feel that we're a good fit anymore. I've kind of moved on, you know, and I kind of feel like maybe I'm trying to be delicate here because I respect so much everything that we did with the Poppy family, but I'm not sure that he's not hasn't moved on musically. you know, because he hasn't done anything in years and years and years and years and years and years and years.
Well, I know you have been writing all along, and I know that, in fact, you even had one of your songs included on an album that was nominated for a Grammy for a children's album.
Yeah, how did you know that?
I know all these things. I mean, you have been all along, you know, doing a lot of things, but, you know, from people who are just big fans of the Poppy family or Terry Jacks or Susan Jacks, you haven't been as visible, obviously.
No, I continued to record. I think the last, I hadn't recorded anything after about 88 or something. And, but I decided I wanted to write my own songs. I knew so much about it, but I'd been, as a singer, I kind of have an inside track to a song. Or when I take a song, I'll take it for the love of what it's saying. And sometimes it's not necessarily a great song, but if you put your heart into it, it brings it alive because somebody wrote that song. I used to do demos down for people down in Nashville just for the exercise of taking a song, and no disrespect meant, but to people who aren't necessarily there yet as far as the writer goes, but they would send them to a studio. A friend of mine had a studio, and you'd go in and he would do the band tracks and whatever, and I would sing it, and sometimes they were just awful. And I would just put that out of my mind and just wrap myself around what they were trying to say. And it would change the whole feel of the song. And for me, it was an exercise in just not being, trying to take the core of what that music was all about and do something. But I also decided that I really needed to bring that other part of me out as far as writing goes and the creating that side of the music, so that when I sang it, I could latch on to exactly, I knew exactly where it was coming from in my own heart. I didn't have to interpret it because I already knew what it was about.
Mm-hmm.
And so writing for quite a long time, it takes you a while to get better and to learn the craft and all that. So
now, is your son Thad musically inclined?
He is not really. He is, actually, he's a painter.
Really?
So he doesn't have that creative side.
Hmm.
But, I thought, well, I wonder what he's going to be. His dad is a very famous football player from Canada, from the CFL.
Ted Dzyzinski. He was with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
That's right.
In the CFL.
All this stuff.
Well, the CFL, we know around here because of Doug Flutie. He was a big star in that league, and he's from Boston, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, no, he was great. One of the reasons, for the last 8 years, I'm just getting active again in music. For the last 8 or so years, Ted was actually diagnosed. We were living in Nashville, and he was diagnosed with lung cancer. And so I was looking after him for, for about 2.5, 3 years. And so there was no time for music, really. And we moved up here, and he passed away in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 months later, 3 months later, my brother was diagnosed with leukemia. So I became his caregiver over the next 4 years, and he had 3 cancers in 4 years. So I've been basically busy.
And you had your own health issues as well, right?
Yes, I had a kidney transplant in February.
Yeah.
And actually, my kidney was donated by my little brother, Billy. And that's where the name of the song came from. Because when, like I said, the song was originally approached, or I was approached with the song. Terry played it for me. It was called Which Way You Going, Buddy? And I didn't like it. It just was weird coming from a guy. I mean, it sounded wimpy or something. I don't know. And so when we started thinking, okay, which way you going? And I had 6 brothers. So we went through a list. We figured might as well start there. There's 6 names we can, which way going, Bruce? No. And we came to Billy, and it was perfect. It was just great. And so we used his name, and he actually donated a kidney to me. So first he gave me a hit record, and now he saved my life.
Now, did you say to him, can I have your kidney, Billy?
That's right. Do you know, I didn't even ask him, of course, because it's a hard thing to ask people for. Mm. You know, it was just an awkward thing for me, even though they're my brothers and sisters, but every one of them stepped up, and only two of them matched. But Billy was, my mom, of course, was the one that told everybody that I was now at a point where I needed a kidney. And
so now, how long are you fully recovered from that surgery now?
Or? Not yet, yeah. Because it hasn't been a year yet, and they say that the first year is kind of you work through the bumps, and and your body has to adjust to a whole new tenant,
Right. Well, you take
different way of working. So.
You take anti-rejection drugs and all that stuff, or?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I do.
It's a major
but
surgery.
Well,
huh?
The only thing I'm dealing with right now is my hemoglobin is very low, and so, they're sending me to see somebody to say, okay, what's happening here?
Yeah. And how quickly did Billy recover from the donation?
Oh gosh, he was right back. It was like any operation. I mean, it was a major, major operation, and his body has to adjust too. But he actually bounced back. Quicker than I did.
So you must be very close to him now, huh? Even more than you were.
I don't know what to get him for Christmas. Let's put it that way, I mean, somebody saves your life, and shoot.
Well, why are we having you talking about this? Well, I'm glad that you're actually speaking about this, because I know that even in this state in Massachusetts here, that you can check off in your driver's license to be a donor, an organ donor.
Yeah.
And it's people don't think about it, but it's really important.
Oh, my gosh. I was like anybody else. I knew nothing about kidney disease. I knew nothing about what caused it. And for me, they think it was just kind of a viral thing or a virus of some sort. They don't know. Because I didn't have high blood pressure. I didn't have diabetes or anything like that. But it happens. Anyway, I found out after having to go to the kidney clinic and then, of course, the transplant clinic. I had to go every twice a week for the first little while, and then it kind of whittled down. Now I go once a month. But you run into so many people with these stories, and people that have had to wait 10 years for a donor or even, like for a kidney, because the waiting list is so long. And it's sad because it's hard for them. And, I'm doing a benefit for the Kidney Foundation of Canada on April the 17th, and it's basically to bring more awareness to the fact that people need to consider donating a kidney. Live donors are it's so much healthier and so much easier, for the recipient.
Mm-hmm.
And we can absolutely live on one kidney. There are so many people born with one kidney. That they don't even find out. One woman I heard about, the kidney clinic was telling me, I think she was in her 50s or early 60s or something, and she had never really had anything wrong with her, never had to have an x-ray. And she started having back problems, nothing to do with kidneys. And they, of course, took x-rays or whatever and found out she had one kidney and always had one kidney.
Hmm.
And there are so many stories like that out there. So.
Mm. Now, we're talking with Susan Jacks, and by the way, if you like to get up-to-the-minute information on Susan, you can go to susanjacks.com, get all that information that you need. I wanted to congratulate you. You were actually inducted into the British Columbia Entertainment Hall of Fame recently.
Yes, I was. That was so exciting. It was really exciting.
Tell us about that.
Well, they just called and said that you're going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, and I mean, that's very exciting. That's like being called before the bar or something, called to the bar or whatever it is. My brother just got called to the bar, he was so excited he could hardly stand it. And I remember, a lot of people being inducted that night, well, about maybe six people, I think, and it was great.
That's an exciting
thing. I didn't know what to say. I got up in front of everybody because I was so excited. When I had never had any idea that I would ever have any fame. I just sang for the love of singing, and so to get to the point where you are inducted into the Hall of Fame, that's pretty exciting.
It is.
And I get a little plaque on the sidewalk.
Now, did you
on the Walk of Fame, and it's really cool.
But
you know, everybody, I was told growing up that I'd be walked on in this business.
Well, you are. Literally, you are now. Just your plaque. But when you had the song that was on the Grammy-nominated album, did you get to go to the Grammys that year?
No, I didn't. No. I suppose I could have, but I didn't. Well, you know, I think we didn't have to really dance was because Beauty Beast, I think it was Beauty and the Beast, yeah, was up that year.
No.
That album was good.
You're up against Disney. Forget it. You're done.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So.
Did you guys ever get nominated for any American awards like that from the Poppy family?
No. No, we didn't.
Did you end up doing, you
mentioned that... We got an RIAA, though, you know, a gold record.
Yeah, you mentioned that that Terry turned down the Ed Sullivan Show. Did you end up doing any of the other big music shows in the United States, like American Bandstand, things like that?
No, we didn't. We did a couple that were done in Toronto, but the George Kirby special we did. The Bobby Darin's, we did a Bobby Darin special.
Hmm.
And we did Rolling on the River. I think that's...
Think about that, that you guys were able to score such big, successful songs.
Oh, we turned... You wouldn't believe the things that were turned down.
Yeah, I can't believe that you...
Including the Ed Sullivan Show. So.
I just can't believe you had a number two song in the United States in the Billboard charts without even having any, you know, touring or any appearances.
I know. Well, for me, you know, as a singer... That is the most exciting thing, is to get in front of an audience and just feel that energy, and because it just sort of builds, and people can really feel up close what you're singing about or what you're saying, and you know, it was, to not tour was like, you know, being smothered.
Mm.
It was awful. I love touring, always did.
You couldn't do it by yourself, though. You had to have him, and he didn't want to do it.
Well, you know, we were the Poppy family.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Although on stage, it was, you know, it was basically I sang, and there was a band behind me, you know, basically.
Mm.
But but I started to tour once I got on my own. You know, I felt like. I'm a singer. I love to do this. What's wrong with going out and touring, you know?
We got a bunch of emails from people when we announced that we were going to interview you, and they all had the same question. Is the Poppy family or is Susan going to be singing any of these songs anywhere where they can go see them?
I'm very proud of the Poppy family music, and because we, for all intents and purposes, we... Well, nowadays I would be considered a co-producer, but in those days, you know, I was the chick singer, because I was there through everything. We tried everything together. We threw in ideas together and whatever. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I knew all about it. So that's why I'm going to be producing this CD.
So it's a big collaboration. But are you out there at all? Going to be? I know that you're still recovering,
yes,
but are you going to be touring?
The whole thing of Poppy Family stuff. I do a lot of Poppy Family stuff, a lot of my solo stuff, and you know, I can't do it all of either Poppy Family or my solo because there's so many of them. But I try and do as many as I can.
Are you touring in the United States at all?
I'm hoping to, but I have to wait until I just kind of get through this this initial healing stage.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be starting touring up here while doing the first concert for the Kidney Foundation. And after that, I'll be going as much as I can because I just love it.
Now, someone from Mississippi actually sent us an email asking if you have ever sung Seasons in the Sun on stage.
No, I haven't. No.
Okay. You leave that one to Terry.
So, that's right.
Yeah.
He had the hit. He should sing it.
Yeah. So, Susan Jacks at SusanJacks.com. It was a real pleasure to talk to you. And when you're ready to tour the United States, let us know.
I will. Thank you so much.
A pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.